Well, this afternoon, if you have your Bibles, you want to take a look at 1 Kings and also some verses out of 2 Chronicles. If you turn to 1 Kings, right chapter here. First Kings chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at the battle that Asa has with Baasha. We've been looking at Asa, who became king, and says that he was a king that ruled after David, after the heart of David, his father. Asa, when he first started ruling, tore down the altars, tore down the high places, stopped the false worship, and started out very well. But today we're going to see, when it comes to a battle with the king of the northern kingdom, Israel, that all of a sudden he forgets all the lessons he learned. When he first came to power, he was attacked, and he called on the Lord for protection. He trusted in the Lord and didn't look to his own army or the armies of other men, and God delivered him. But now we see that Baasha has become the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he's beginning to move against Asa in Judah. I just want to give you a little, because it's really hard to squeeze everything in, and things aren't quite in order that they've been written in the book of Kings. And so he's having the battle with Baasha in chapter 16, and then it talks about Nadab and Baasha coming to rule. Now, one of the things that you see when you look at the northern kingdom, and we'll be looking at this a little in greater depth on how these kings came to power in the northern kingdom. One of the things you see in the northern kingdom is they often usurped the authority of the power of the king that was there. They would come up with in war against them. They weren't successors. It wasn't the southern kingdom is always the family of David. The northern kingdom, you've got all kinds of different families that come to rule, and oftentimes they come to rule by overthrowing or killing the existing king. That's exactly what happened. Nadab was the son of Jeroboam, but he only ruled for 2 years, and then Baasha came against him, overthrew him, and killed him. And now Baasha is coming against the southern kingdom of Judah. So let's pick it up at verse 16. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And just a pause here. Ramah was located about 4 miles north of Jerusalem, and Baasha began to build this city as a fortified city. It was a city where he was going to place his armies, and he would not allow any people from the northern kingdom to go down into Jerusalem, and he would not allow anybody from Jerusalem to come into the northern kingdom. This whole point was to make a real differentiation between the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, and then also eventually he planned on attacking Judah and overtaking it. And Asa took all the, and now we're going to see what Asa's response is. And Asa took all the silver and gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants, and King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Abraham, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel and smote Ajon and Dan and Abibeth, Maacah, and all Cinnereth with the land in the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building Ramah and dwelt in Jezreel. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherefore Baasha had builded. And King Asa built with them Geba and Benjamin and Mizpah, and the rest of all the acts of Asa and his might and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet, and Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's just follow in prayer, and then we're going to read some of out of Chronicles, which gives us a little more insight into what's going on here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you give to us to study your word. Lord, may we learn from the life of Asa, a man who started out so well but finished not so good. And Lord, much like Solomon, except he never worshipped any other god, he just showed a lack of trust in you. And Lord, may we never come to the point where we show a lack of trust in the God who has redeemed us, saved us, delivered us, sustains us, and Father, that you are truly and only and worthy of our praise and worship. And Father, help us to learn from the error of Asa. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we need to read more about this war. And I want to just read this as well. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And we just read that in King. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captain of his armies against the cities of Israel, and smote Ajon and Dan and Bel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard of it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. And Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built wherewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord, thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. And were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in prison, in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they were written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and told the disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in 140th year of his reign, and they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with a sweet odor, and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him, and that was burning of incense. It wasn't cremating him. They burned all this incense at his funeral. Now, I want you to see some things that give us greater insight from the book of Chronicles. Everything that we read in First Kings is also cited here. There's some more names of previous Syrian kings that are given in First Kings in a little more detail along that way. But I want you to understand that what Asa did. Remember, we studied last week about how that the Ethiopians came against Asa, and they came against him with a million men. A million men and chariots. It appeared to be an army that was impossible for Israel to defend itself against. They had like a few hundred thousand men. I think it was around 300,000 men of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And they were facing an army of a million plus a number of chariots. And the Ethiopians had united themselves with another country, and were coming against Israel. It appeared to be impossible. And Asa, if you remember, the first thing he did is he cried on the name of the Lord. He didn't go and try to make leagues with Egypt or make a league with Syria or make even a league with Israel, but rather he called on the name of the Lord and asked God that he would deliver him from his enemy and help him in his time of distress. The Lord delivered him. Now we come to a much smaller problem from the eyes of the world, but it's a problem that Asa wants to answer and deal with in his own wisdom. And oftentimes, that's what we will do. When we have huge things in our life that there's no way we know how to even begin to address them, we'll call on God. Lord, please help me. Please help me out of this situation. Maybe I've got a horrible disease, or maybe I'm financially ruined, or maybe this has happened, but God help me and help me. And then God delivers us, and then something smaller comes into our life that isn't nearly as catastrophic in nature, and instead of calling on the Lord, we look to our own wisdom. And that's what Asa did. What he did is when Baasha, the king of Israel, came against him, the first thing he did is he knew that Baasha had made some arrangements with the Syrians. And so he goes to Syria and he says, well, what I can do is I can buy off the Syrians. The Syrians will act as mercenaries. They'll come to war for me if I pay them well. But I want you to see where he got his gold and silver. The first place he goes to get his gold and silver is to steal it from the Lord's house and to take that which really he shouldn't be taking to bribe or pay off the Syrians to defend him. And he doesn't call on the Lord. Then the second thing he does, he goes and gets the gold out of his own house. So basically he's stripping his own nation of all of their wealth. He's stripping the temple of God of its wealth and all that has been placed there to honor the Lord, and it is the Lord that has been given to him. And we see that he takes it all and pays off the Syrians. Now the Syrians, they're happy to get the gold and the silver, and they're more than willing to abandon the northern tribe of Israel and do what Asa wants. Now, all of the cities that the Syrians attack are in northern Israel. If you would have a map and it would show where Naphtali's inheritance was, it was up by the Sea of Galilee in that region. And that's where all of these cities were that Bashan had and were his cities, and the Assyrians were attacking them. Well, Bashan had been sending all of his troops down to build the city of Rapha. They had a lot of building materials there. They started the building, and when he hears that the northern cities are being attacked, he leaves the building and goes and takes his armies up to defend these northern cities. When that occurs, the second thing that Asa does that he shouldn't do. And we see that more brought out more distinctly in the 1 Kings passage, where it says he subscribes or subscripts all of the nation of Judah to come, and the purpose of this subscription is that all the men of Judah would gather together and they would take all the building materials from Rapha and they build these two cities, which would be defense cities for Asa. And so he doesn't ask for volunteers. He doesn't call on the Lord and say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? But he does it in his own wisdom and his own strength, if you would. And so they go and they build these two cities. Well, in going back to Second Chronicles, chapter 16, we see that what happens then is God sends a prophet. And the prophet brings some very bad news to Asa. And he says, in beginning at verse 7, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. In other words, the Lord was going to give Syria into the hand of Asa, and the king of Syria, like I mentioned, he was going to whoever give him the most. And so he'd been fighting with Israel against Judah, but now he was going to fight with Judah against Israel. But God had planned on giving Syrians into his hand. And he says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. And so he reminds Asa of what God did. And who is more powerful than the Syrians? Who is more powerful than the Israel, than the nation of Israel? It's the Lord. And the Lord can raise up, and we see that God does that on numerous occasions for various judges and also for various kings in the Old Testament, where the Lord comes against their enemies when they cry out, and oftentimes the Lord doesn't even ask for any of their help, but does it on his own, and does it really miraculously to reveal to them his power and his authority, and their trust should be in him. He had done that for Asa, and yet Asa forgets very quickly. And we are not to forget the power of God, and we are not to forget what God can do for us, and we are not to forget that we are to call on the name of the Lord in our moments of distress. And it says, the Lord is seeking people who will do that. It says in verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, God wants to reveal himself and his power, his authority, and who he is to those who really believe in him and trust in him. Asa started doing that with the Ethiopians, but how quickly he forgot with the Israelites, with the nation of Israel. And it says, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. In other words, as long as you continue to live, you're going to have wars, and God isn't going to deliver these people into your hand to remove the battles from you. And so Asa, for the rest of his kingdom, had wars, because he began to rely upon his ability to make treaties and to gather, pact with other nations instead of relying on God. And really, this is the same problem that really led to Solomon's downfall, is Solomon in his own, even though he was the wisest man in the world, forgot that wisdom came from the Lord, and he needed to rely on the Lord for strength and not the false gods of his wife. Now, if you look at it, he says in verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer. The second thing he did wrong. First thing, he trusted in the Syrians rather than in God. The second thing, he gets angry with the prophet of the Lord. How different is Asa than David in this area? Remember when Nathan came to David after David had sinned and sinned grievously against Bathsheba and her husband Uriah and the nation of Israel, and Nathan came and presented this parable to David, but it really wasn't a parable, it was a story replacing David and Bathsheba and Uriah with the characters of the story he was telling them. And the one about how that there was a man who had one sheep that was dear to him, and there was another man who had many sheep, and the man who had the many sheep coveted the sheep of the one, and so he killed the man, took his sheep, and David became livid. Became livid and said, "Who is this man? I will take care of him," because he saw the injustice of it all. And then when Nathan says, "You're the man," David immediately is broken. He didn't have Nathan thrown in jail. He didn't have Nathan killed because he brought this message against what he had done, but he acknowledged he had sinned. I firmly believe that Asa would have had the attitude of David. There would have been hope if he would have said, "Lord, I am so sorry. I should have trusted in you. Why did I ever look to the Syrians? May I call on your name. Forgive me, O Lord." But he doesn't. Instead, he has the seer thrown in jail, the prophet thrown in jail, because he brought a message that was true. And he didn't want to hear the message. Well, because of those two things, a third thing happened. And we see the extent of that thing in the book, in the chapter in 2 Chronicles, where it just mentions it in 1 Kings. It mentions that he had a disease of the feet, which that's eventually what he died from. But here it gives greater insight into what it was. The Lord struck him with this disease of the feet. And I want you to see again, he had this disease was evidently pretty serious. I don't know what it was. It could have been leprosy. It could have been, I don't know what it was. It just tells us it was a serious disease of the feet that led to his death. And instead of again calling on the name of the Lord, what does he do? Goes to the physician. Goes to the physician. God had caused this disease to come upon him as judgment, and the Lord could have removed it, but instead he goes to the physicians and doesn't call on God. And then I want you to see in 2 Chronicles, Asa in his death. 1 Kings doesn't give us, again, the full picture, but 2 Chronicles does. You don't see that David ever built a tomb for himself and had it all prepared so that it'd be the whole nation would be just in astonishment. You don't even see that Solomon did that. Asa did. He built a tomb that would be standing out. But not only that, he gathered all the spices that he could gather from all over the area that would smell good, so that at his funeral, he could have all of these aromatic spices, and it says that it wasn't a funeral like it, because they burned all of this greatly. And it's not talking about cremation, like I said earlier. It's talking about all of these spices and all of the smells that he has burning his incense at his funeral. And he made it a spectacle of his death to the people. And none of the last portion of his life was all filled with pride instead of humility. The first portion of his life was filled with humility, much like David. But the last portion was filled with pride, and God's judgment fell on him because of it. May we learn from Asa that we don't just start out good, but we finish good as well. That we don't become prideful because God gives us a victory over that which seemed impossible, but rather we learn that we can rely on the Lord as the one who is our strength and shield, and He is our protector. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things, help us to apply these things to our life. and help us to learn from the life of Asa, the king of Judah. This we ask in your name, for your sake and glory. Amen.